Jesus tells, or the scripture tells us, that Jesus took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. As the paralyzed man was brought to Jesus through the roof, Jesus said to him, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." And he went on to heal the man. "Rise, take your mat, get up and walk." So if you have an infirmity, if you have a disease, if you have an illness this morning, why don't you just place your hand on that this morning? Or ask the person beside you just to place their hand on that, and we'll commit you to God. Father, we thank you that you took up our infirmities and you bore our diseases on the cross. I just speak healing in the name of Jesus. We speak to these infirmities and diseases. We say, be healed in Jesus' name. Take up your mat, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. We're pleased to have you here. Thank you to the band too. Wonderful worship this morning to bring us into the presence of God. We begin this morning with a story of Paul and Silas in Philippi, a former city in present-day Greece. And our story starts in Acts 16, 23-28. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains became loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The question is asked, why didn't Paul and Silas, or even the prisoners, flee from the prison when the doors were open? Why? The truth is that the prisoners had come to the realization that to simply escape from the prison would not have brought true freedom. That true freedom was right there in the middle of that prison cell in Philippi, in the presence of Jesus. Today, I want to speak to you on this freedom, true freedom, that is freedom in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those tuning in this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray for, Lord, have your Holy Spirit way this morning, Lord God. Come, Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world, that we can build our lives on you. You are the firm foundation, and you've come to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Old Testament, we also read in Exodus how Moses led the Israelites from slavery to freedom. There are parallels with this story about how God leads the Israelites out of slavery to the promised land and how Jesus leads us to freedom. Freedom from being slaves to sin. We'll look at this more this morning. I want to share with you some main headings this morning. I want to talk to you about the problem. I want to talk to you about the solution. I want to talk to you about remaining free and the purpose of being set free before we finish up. So in an introduction, freedom, as we know it, is much sought after in the world around us. As the world defines it, it is all about what you can do in and of yourself to be free, to escape your fears, your worries, your guilt, even if it's for a brief time. The world will tell you that freedom is about being able to choose what you can do at any time to satisfy yourself and your desires without any consequences or repercussions. Perhaps it's freedom from authority, freedom from judgment, freedom from law, freedom from commitments, freedom from restrictions. Different religions indeed try to offer pathways to freedom. In a sense, freedom is something to be earned as an end goal. Freedom from your problems, freedom from guilt. But in reality, do any of these paths lead to true freedom? In reality, all such efforts to pursue and to seek freedom in such ways are ultimately futile, and frankly, deceptive. The irony is that with any of these paths, there is simply no freedom. Not true freedom. No freedom from guilt, no freedom from shame, no freedom from fear, no freedom from yourself, no freedom from sin, no freedom. The only perceived freedom gained with any of these paths is simply to choose the sin that appeals most at any given time. Such attempts to be free are frankly deception and a lie from Satan himself. And the result of pursuing such paths to freedom will ultimately lead not only to dissatisfaction in your soul, but more than that, to death. For the wages of sin is death. Number two, the problem. The problem, in one word, is sin. We read in Exodus how Egypt represented the land of slavery and a life far from God. In a similar way, we are slaves without Christ, slaves to sin. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned." Jesus gives us further teaching in John 8:34 when he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Romans 6:20, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness." As the Israelites, God's people, problem was slavery in Egypt and mastered by the Egyptians, our problem is that without Christ, we are simply slaves to sin. And a slave must serve one's master, must it not? The master, in this case, being sin, without Christ. There is simply no man-made pathway to freedom from the ultimate problem, slavery to sin, this bondage to sin. The reason is that we, in our unregenerate state and without Christ, are slaves to sin. Nothing in and of ourselves can set us free. Deliver us from this bondage, this slavery to sin. Lord, help us. We all need to be set free from this bondage, this slavery to sin. We all need a Savior. The solution. As we read in the Old Testament, as the Israelites are set free from Egypt with Pharaoh in hot pursuit, seeking to destroy and not wanting God's people to experience freedom, but to remain in slavery. Ultimately, Pharaoh and his armies are defeated at the Red Sea. In parallel, we too have an enemy that seeks to destroy us, but ultimately, we can be set free from being slaves to sin, being under its mastery, through our Redeemer and Lord Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection gives us victory over sin and death. True freedom, friends, is found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. In Luke 4:18, where Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Indeed, when Jesus read this, there was stunned silence in the synagogue. The one who spoke was the living fulfillment of this ancient prophecy. Jesus had come to set them free. Jesus wants you to be free. He wants to set you free, truly free. John 8:36 reads, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free from being slaves to sin, to obeying the master's sin, free from the power of sin, free from the penalty of sin, and ultimately, one day, free from the presence of sin for the believer." This is true freedom. What a glorious truth. Isaiah 53:5 reads, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only one who sets us free, a precious gift from the Father, freely available to all who believe in him. Mark 16:16 reads, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." But as we've read, Be warned, just as Pharaoh pursued the Israelites, your old master sin is still there and he wants to master you. As Pharaoh didn't want the Israelites to be free, the enemy does not want us to experience this freedom in Christ, but to live in slavery to sin. We must resist the enemy and stand firm in our faith. 1 Peter 5, 8-9 reads, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him then, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. James 4:7 reads, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We've looked at the problem, we've looked at the solution. So let's look now at remaining free. If you have been set free, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a gift from our Heavenly Father for all, I want to look at remaining free. Paul asks these rhetorical questions in Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Jesus says in John 8:32, which is an often quoted passage of Scripture, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But I want to look at this verse in its full context. If we read from John 8:31 to 34, and it's Jesus speaking to the Jews who believed in him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I want to draw your attention to what Jesus says about the truth. Verse 32, taken on its own, simply doesn't give the full context to remaining free and to walking in freedom. Jesus says that, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It is only by abiding in him and his word, holding on to Jesus' teaching and applying it in our lives, that we will know the truth that sets us free. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying, I was not born free, I was born to adore and obey. We have heard from Pastor Debbie recently the importance of obedience to God, the importance of acknowledging who is in charge. It is obedience to him and his teachings and commands where true freedom and victory is found. The onus is on us as followers of Christ, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to abide in him, to remain free in Christ. We see a similar passage in Galatians 5 where Paul urges us to stand firm. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5 verse 1. Eulatheria is the Greek word used here for freedom, and it comes from the Greek word eulatheros, which means free, not a slave or under restraint. Are you burdened by a yoke of slavery today, listener? Standing firm, abiding in Christ and his word, and holding on to Jesus' teaching and applying it in our lives is the key to true freedom, to ongoing freedom, to remaining free. And by doing so, not letting yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This truth, the truth is that we are either slaves to sin or to righteousness, as we see in Romans 6, 16 to 17. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, amen, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We see here, as Paul writes, as we have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You are set free from being a slave to sin, true freedom, and in its place have become slaves to righteousness. You now have a new master. Living in freedom. Here we see Paul writes about freedom in Christ, its purpose, and how to gain ongoing victory over the flesh by walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:13-25 reads, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you too will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, the fruit of the Spirit, amen, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Hallelujah. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Here Paul gives us the tools for how to live the truth of being free indeed. By walking in the Spirit and applying Jesus' teaching and the Word of God in our lives, we can know true freedom in our lives, ongoing freedom, lasting freedom. Freedom over the flesh and freedom from sin. We can know the reality of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives as we walk in the Spirit. This is essential for all believers. It's not just for leaders, for pastors, for elders. It's essential for all believers. We must, as Paul writes, keep in step with the Spirit to know truly what freedom in Christ means. It is not by anything we can do or muster up in and of ourselves. It is the Son who sets us free. Who sets us free indeed. We know that the Israelites' journey to the Promised Land had many challenges, but the Lord ultimately delivered them and made a way when there seemed to be no way. During this difficult journey, the Lord prepared them to take possession of the Promised Land. But along the way, the Israelites rebelled, challenged the leadership, and even longed to return to Egypt. Perhaps you can identify with this morning. But know that just as the Lord did a work in the Israelites' hearts for what lay ahead and indeed provided for all their needs, he can also do a work in your heart at this time, even in lockdown, perhaps even more so in lockdown. And know that he will also provide for you as you look to him. I would encourage you to simply yield again to him this morning and to allow him to work in your heart. Don't long or pine for Egypt, your past life of slavery and sin. Press on towards the goal that Christ has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus, despite how the enemy may tempt you. Resist him and he will flee. Do not be like the dog returning to its vomit or the sow that is washed returning to the mud. So we've talked about the problem. We have seen the solution through Christ Jesus. We have talked about remaining free, but there is a purpose to this newfound freedom in Christ. It doesn't end once you've been set free. God's plan is to redeem us, his children. He wants us to be brought back to his original purpose, to know him, to walk with him. We are saved through believing in Christ and through baptism for a specific purpose and plan. And God wants us to walk with him so that we can experience life in all its fullness and lead others to this freedom in Christ. Just as being set free from Egypt wasn't the end goal for God's people, the Israelites, but merely the starting point of their journey to possess the promised land. So freedom in Christ is not the end goal for us as believers as we take possession of our new life in Christ. We are called to be free to serve him. Galatians 5:13 reads, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Paul warns us not to use this freedom to indulge in the flesh, but to serve one another humbly in love. We're blessed to be in a church that models this truth. And as believers, we are urged also to use our freedom in Christ for this purpose, to serve him. 1 Peter 2:16 reads, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves." The irony is that living as God's slaves is living in freedom. Oh, listener, this is where true freedom is found. Slaves to God, not slaves to sin. Freedom indeed. As we come to a close, we see the contrast here between the Old Testament story of the Israelites being led out of slavery, out of Egypt, and Paul and Silas and the prisoners in prison, in Philippi, in Greece. The Israelites in the Old Testament were free from the outside, it seemed, but trapped on the inside. They weren't free. Paul and Silas, in contrast, were free on the inside, but not free from the outside. They were trapped in prison. We know that they were released, but they were, to the eye, it would seem that they were trapped from the outside, but free on the inside. As the band comes up, we can read in conclusion how the story of Paul and Silas ends. Acts 16:29 to 31 reads, "The jailer calls for lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household." You see, your prison is not a physical place or circumstances. It is sin. True freedom is freely available to all who will call on the name of the Lord today and abide in his word. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We know that the human condition is indeed bondage and sin, the unregenerate human condition. In Christ, through faith, we are freed from being slaves to sin as Christ abides in us. Yes, brothers and sisters, you will have trouble in this life, but take heart as Jesus has overcome the world. The gospel message means that the most violent offender, the prisoner, can truly know freedom. Freedom from sin through Christ alone. It does not depend on what you have done, your circumstances or surroundings. It is a gift from the Father through the shed blood, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and starts by believing on him. In doing so, you will know the ongoing truth of what it means to be truly set free. Perhaps you are listening to this morning and have felt your heart drawn to him, to this message, don't resist this morning. God is drawing you to him. You can be set free this morning from being a slave to sin if you have never accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can just simply declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You don't have to live as a slave to sin. You can know freedom and victory and have a new master in your life. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Number two, perhaps you are a believer in Christ and have been for some time, but have maybe backslidden, or perhaps you feel trapped in a sin in your life, or know you are not following Christ with all your heart and are consumed with worry, with anxiety, yet you long to be free. Can I encourage you this morning to repent and surrender afresh to Christ this morning and ask him to simply set you free? He is there. He's here this morning. You can find rest in him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Know that Jesus' desire for you is that for you to come as you are to him this morning, and he wants you to be set free. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is here this morning. Just take some time as the band play in his presence this morning, just where you are, as the Spirit leads you. Amen.